Hello, I'm Alok Jha. Now, you'd normally find me introducing a full-on Science Weekly podcast here right now, but because it's nearing summer, we're on a break for 4 weeks. We'll be back properly on July the 6th, and until then, we're going to bring you a different item or interview every week, a taster of the kind of things we do on the podcast. This week, Tim Radford talks to The Guardian's Ian Sample about our science book club. The latest book up for discussion on the Science blog is The Blank Slate by Steven Pinker. You'll hear Tim and Ian talk a bit about that book in a moment, but first here's Tim on the idea behind the club.
I just think science is not, there's not nearly enough attention to science in all its manifestations. It is the greatest cultural endeavour of the last two centuries. Literature was powerful in the 19th century and cinema in the 20th, but at the moment, all the intellectual advance that we have is coming from science. It's providing the wonder, the astonishment, the imagination, and the obsessive interest that we once possibly got from Latin poets. So why don't we review science books in an open, communal kind of way? And that's what book clubs are good at, and the internet might have been made for book clubs.
So what do you really want people to get out of it? I mean, so you can, some of these books can be pretty heavy going. You won't maybe know too many other people who are reading them, and you know, but online we can get to people around the world.
That's it. You have a club of like-minded people. Long, boring books exist because somebody likes them. Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire is a great book, although most of us have never read it. But those of us who have do know why. And the same would apply to many of these very substantial science books that have emerged that tell us in remarkably clear, but in some ways quite confined ways, how the world works. And if you're interested in how the world works, and as journalists, of course we are, we find these books compelling, and here at last is an occasion to discuss them with other people and find out what they think.
And so far, you've covered a fair breadth of topics so far. I mean, I think the first book we started off with was Richard Forty's book on evolution and paleontology and such like. Then we went on to particle physics with a book about Paul Dirac's life. And then this sweeping history of science from Richard Holmes, The Age of Wonder. I mean, what are the nuggets that have come out so far for you?
What's come out in each case for me is that we cheated. What we started with books that we knew were going to be good. This, we may not keep this up. We may actually deliberately choose a not very good book and discuss it just to see what happens. But in the case of Richard Forty, I do not remember reading a better general introduction to the whole business of life. He called it an unauthorized biography, but if life was an entity and had an agent, it would have authorized this biography. It really would. Because I don't know that the story has ever been told better. Why did we start with that one? Because it was Darwin's year. We signalled our intention to have a book club almost on Darwin's birthday. And it would have been perverse not to have discussed evolution under the circumstances, and even more perverse not to discuss evolution when the forces of darkness out there seem to be gathering against it again. Why did we take to Dirac? Well, it was a new book, a very new book. Most people wouldn't have read it. Most people actually would not think of reading it. If you said, here is a book about a man who is probably autistic, who is reported to have had no small talk whatsoever, and who attended all his life to quantum mechanics, a subject which, if you claim to understand, then you must be lying. Would anyone read it? Well, the answer is yes, if it was a good book. But you know, people have to be told how good these books can be. And I thought Farmelo's book on Dirac was absolutely stunning, really riveting. I wouldn't, however, say that you came out of it knowing a fantastic amount of science, because quantum mechanics is a very defined piece of research, and its blooms are shared between very few people, rather like the Chelsea Flower Show at its worst.
I thought that was a very brave choice, actually, because as you say, you have a man who is known for his silence, and how esoteric his work was. I mean, he was an engineer turned mathematician turned physicist, essentially, and to write such a long and detailed and comprehensive book about that was ambitious enough in itself. And for you to choose it for the book club, I thought hats off to you for doing that.
Well, I've read stuff from Graham Farmelo before, and it is, you know, so he has form. But also, of course, I sneaked a look before I actually established that it would be the book of the month. I'm a club. should, of course, have books suggested by its readership. But I don't think we've quite got to that stage yet. But I think we ought to actually try and encourage a few of our more vocal club members, whom I know only as nom de plume, to perhaps come up with a better idea one day. At least, you know, we should try and democratise it. Our third book, Richard Holmes's The Age of Wonder, was absolutely a wonderful romp through the two cultures. These were about people, about Joseph Banks and about the Herschels and about Humphrey Davy in particular. And Humphrey Davy had not only hung around with Coleridge and Wordsworth and Robert Southey, the poet, they thought Humphrey Davy was wonderful. They even gave Humphrey Davy the job of editing Lyrical Ballads in its second or third edition. They regarded him as a polymath. And, of course, he was a bit of what an older generation would have called a gay dog, as attractive to women, and a glamorous figure. And I always thought that if you made a movie with Humphrey Davy in it, you'd have had to get the young Colin Firth or or someone like that to play him.
And so with the next book, the fourth book, we'll be moving on to neuroscience psychology.
Yes, we're heading towards the choppy waters of what's called evolutionary psychology, a subject that actually throws people into fits. Everybody loves discussing why we're afraid of the dark or why we think there are burglars under the bed or any one of 100 bits of human behaviour. Where does it come from? And there has always been a kind of cod evolutionary psychology that people have proposed. A new one, of course, is that we're greedy because we came through the Ice Age and tended to eat whenever we could. Maybe it's true. But in the case of evolutionary psychology, there's another level of bitterness attached to it. It's really a question about why are we as we are? Where did we come from? Where are we going? And are we in control? It was written at a period when there was a sort of a peak of alarm about the possible implications of the Human Genome Project. If we're the product of our genes, are we responsible for our own actions, or do we do things because our genes tell us? And it's quite clear that in some cases, people's psychological makeup arrives independently of any action that's taken by family or people around it and dictates how they behave. But does that mean that it was their genes that made them like that? This has provoked some wonderful rows, and The Blank Slate, which is Steven Pinker's, it's wrong to call it right wing because I happen to know that he's not what you might call a Bushite or a Cheneyite, but he's certainly not a Marxist. And his book, of course, annoyed the Marxists in Britain to hell, and they said so loudly. And a furious row broke out at the time. Looking back and reading the book again, it's much easier to see that you can't separate science and ideology. Mm. I'm still reading it, so I won't come to a conclusion that will spoil your fun when you actually open, if you should choose to do so, they'll click on the Science Book Club. But watch this space.
The title of this book, The Blank Slate, I mean, it sort of conjures up all sorts of ideas as to what you might think Pinker's writing about. But there have been plenty of books looking at nature versus nurture, this whole idea of the contributions of environment and genetics to human beings and how we, you know, how we turn out, what the different proportions of contribution are. I mean, so far from what you've got through, I mean, how is Pinker's book different? I mean, presumably he isn't taking an absolutist nature view on this.
No, it's in fact increasingly difficult to see what his view really is. This is partly because, of course, what we don't have in the case of from neuroscience and from psychology so far is hard information of the sort that you could replicate in an experiment again and again. I think humans are too complicated for that. I think human society is too complicated for that. And I think human behaviour is quite capable of astonishing us, even when we think we've got it sussed. The Blank Slate is a piece of imagery that he's chosen to use. Do we arrive and wait for our parents and our society to tell us what to be like? That is, could you bring up boys to play with little daisy chains and girls to play football? I think the answer is clearly no. It's never been possible to eliminate completely from the social punditry the idea that society does influence how people behave. And so the question becomes one of extent. And he sets up an argument between what you might call the people who support Rousseau's idea of the noble savage and the tragic vision? Are humans just nasty and have to be controlled, or is there a utopian vision? He quotes Hobbes as Leviathan and quotes it so intelligently that I think that we ought to be reading that instead. The book is typical Pinker, amazingly witty, trenchant, and sometimes quite difficult to follow, but always to the point. And it's a good read, although it's not an easy read. And I think we might choose for another occasion a slightly more frivolous topic, you know, a brief history of time or something like that.
We're going to have a lot more books to get through, and we will welcome suggestions from our readers to as to which ones we focus on and that you look at in particular. But I'm interested in the sort of in what you think the readers do get out of this in terms of the club, because in a what you might call a regular book club where people are buying novels and discussing novels, people might be talking about elements of simple plot or character construction and turns of phrase, the actual quality of the writing. Is that exactly the same kinds of things that we should and do in this club? Or do you think, you know, there are other things that we hold up for as value or for criticism in
you
these?
You can't leave out the quality of the writing, because that's the first requisite of a book, that it should be well written. But science books are different from other books. Other books, love stories, detective novels, sporting hero yarns, any book, is telling you an old story. Science really is actually quite odd. I've said it before, you not only does a scientist or a science writer end up writing something that's never been written before, quite often he writes something that no one could ever have imagined having been written before. And so science is not only the ultimate in non-fiction, that is, every science book is as near to non-fiction as you can get and still be a book, which is more than you can say for history, for instance, or biography. It's new. It tells you something you didn't know. And this is such an astonishing reward that we ought to share it much more widely. So that's why we're having the book club.
That was Tim Radford talking to The Guardian's Ian Sample about the Science Book Club. You can follow the progress of the club at guardian.co.uk/science. At that website, you'll also find the latest science, health, environment and technology stories. Science Weekly will be back in full on July the 6th, but until then, you can follow us on the website or even here on Twitter. Look for Guardian Science. So until next week, when we'll bring you another morsel from our travels in science, it's goodbye. This mini show was produced by Pascal Wise. I'm Alok Chah.